Hey everyone, welcome back to Bird Watching. This is a podcast about the cultural legacy and impact of the crow. I'm your host, Randy, and... oh no. I don't want to give too much away, but we're here to talk about the trailer for The Crow 2024, directed by Rupert Sanders, and... oh no. I can't hide how I'm feeling about this. But let's get into it. Let's try to verbalize. As discussed last time, there probably wasn't going to be too much time between those initial promo pictures and this trailer. And just about a week later, it appeared. And it is wildly long. It is a 3-minute trailer. And there's a lot to discuss. And I'm trying to pace myself. We start with establishing Eric and Shelley, played by Bill Skarsgård and FKA Twigs. This solidifies the plot beats of them meeting in a rehab facility and going, escaping, being in love. I don't know if it's, like, I didn't see any escape stuff. I wonder if that's glossed over in any way. And then Shelley's involvement with Danny Houston's antagonist character, who, like, still no official name, none used in the trailer either, who might be sucking the life out of young girls based on the trailer. And there's a clear through line of suffocation. And we see Eric and Shelley being suffocated in a trailer, which I was like, holy shit. Just for the record, this trailer is really, really violent and really, really sexual. And not that those are, like, inherently bad things. I was just surprised because normally trailers are rated by the MPAA to be shown in front of films. And if you have a lot of the stuff that is in this Crow trailer in a film's trailer, you have to have it as a red band trailer so that it can only play before, like, R-rated films. This has not been approved by the MPAA. They just uploaded it straight to Lionsgate's YouTube channel. So I don't think it's screening in front of any movies right now, which is interesting, but also explains why it's, like, really, like, they get into some nasty stuff in this trailer. Again, not, like, saying that's a good or a bad thing. I'm just saying it was surprising because normally that doesn't happen, but again, different circumstances than your normal trailer. Industry talk, what fun. And Eric is brought back. There's a sort of mysterious figure who is not the Skull Cowboy, who is giving the When Someone Dies monologue, one of the only pieces lifted from the first film as well. Mixed feelings about them using that. And is brought back, and we see a pretty gnarly sequence with some shotgunning. Eric rising out of a bathtub filled with blood. Lots of sort of very dramatic shots of Twigs and Skarsgård sort of underwater, maybe in like a limbo situation. Which are actually visually kind of pretty. And of course we get into the normal, like, you know, this guy's back from the dead for revenge stuff. We see a bit of that speculated set piece in an opera house. The Post Malone Aussie track is playing. It's all happening. And reactions have been mixed to negative. I tried to get out of my own circle of people, my own, you know, biases. I tried to look in different places, see what, you know, like maybe like the normal population of people who don't know a lot about The Crow, aren't extremely goth, aren't my friends who know what I'm going to think. You know, we're saying I got outside of the birdwatching think tank, aka my group of friends that I like to talk about these podcast episodes with. And genuinely, I can't find much positivity out there. There's a lot of Bill Skarsgård stans who are very, very excited. Good for them. Go support your boy, I guess. But, you know, like, it's... I think the thing that a lot of people have really come together on in seeing this trailer is, where's the vibes? Where's the atmosphere? It feels very clean cut. It feels very sort of generic, sort of, like... I feel like it's made out of plastic. I miss sort of the grit, the grime, the dirt, the patina of a Crow film. Even the ones that aren't, quote-unquote, very good or aren't as popular. Like, we cannot deny City of Angels has an incredible atmosphere. Like, Crow Media goes a long way in establishing a vibe. And what that looks like can vary depending on the piece. But, like, comics-wise, film-wise, you know, even with music, like, the vibe of it has to be very distinct and very different than things that are going on. And I, as much as I love the John Wick films, and I really, really do, we cannot deny that this seems to be a pretender to the throne of some latter John Wick installments, which is funny because it's replacing a John Wick spinoff that's going in for reshoots on the movie schedules for the year. But I miss the vibes. Like, that goes a long way when making a Crow story good. It's just, I refuse to critique acting performances before I've seen the whole movie, but I'm not really getting anything from anything that's in this trailer. I'm not feeling any passion from Bill Skarsgård. I don't have a read on Twigs as Shelley. Danny Houston is doing his thing. None of the gang members stand out. And I even knew who was, like, playing those characters going into this because I've been keeping tabs on this movie. The costumes feel like Marvel and Hunger Games. One of the only things that really, really bummed me out when I was watching this trailer was seeing the coat for the first time and going, oh no. And of course, people who designed costumes for Marvel and Hunger Games were involved on this film in the costume department, so makes sense. I hate saying the word soulless as well, because I feel like it's also a good way to get around critiquing a movie, just like calling something cringe. But I felt that this looked soulless and that the dialogue was cringe when I was watching this trailer, and I hate to say that. I also thought the mixing in this trailer was really bad. I had to watch it twice before I could understand anything that anyone was saying. So maybe they took the mumble rap thing, like, a little too literally and now no one's enunciating. Sorry, that was mean. But it's true. And I just, this is a Crow that feels like it's made out of plastic and focus grouped within an inch of its life. And they're really relying on Bill to carry this thing. They've narrowed down the story so much, there aren't a lot of side characters. I sort of like the expanded tapestry of story that is the first film. I think it's an adaptation move that is very smart for cinema. I did a whole episode on the way they adapted this book to film and what works better on film than does in the book. And I feel like they've taken some of the wrong lessons from those adaptation, you know, things that worked for the first film. There is no Sarah character. There is no Albrecht. There is Eric on Revenge. And that's a lot to ask of one actor to carry for one story. You're going to, I feel like this movie is A, going to be a lot shorter than the original if that's all that they do. But I just feel like you're missing some of the most, like, meaningful relationships and character dynamics of the first film by just having it be this. Granted, we're getting more Shelley, but I'm not overly optimistic about their portrayal of Shelley based on what was seen in the trailer. I don't know if she's going to be a full-fledged character and not just a hot woman to save. And again, nothing wrong with being a hot woman, but I like a little more in my movies. As I have been through this remake process, my main thought, as new information is revealed to me every time, is, wow, I would love to be wrong about this being bad. And I remain hopeful that that's the truth, but my optimism has been thoroughly chipped away at. But thank you for listening to this podcast episode. I promise the next episode will not be one of these rapid reactions to reboot news and happenings. It will be the Crow Salvation's Coda episode, which I have been trying to get done forever. There's so much in store this year that I'm really excited to share with you. And maybe I'll see you at the movies. Maybe I won't, but maybe I will. Thank you for listening. Be safe, be well, have a wonderful day wherever you are. Hello to all international listeners. You guys are amazing, and I'll see you next time.